end the gridlock and to stop passing the buck to future generations.
Mayor Michael Bloomberg on the John Gambling Show.
We, the individual voters, have to do something different. We have to hold those we elected accountable.
Now, with New York's only local news talk morning radio program, here are John Gambling and Mayor Michael Bloomberg.
Sir.
Nothing that you should worry about.
Okay.
On the other hand, I'm late.
Okay, fair enough.
I apologize for that. Yeah, I never like to be late.
And you rarely are.
And the fascinating thing was the subway was empty.
Empty.
I could have sat down. But I never sit. And I'll tell you why I never sit. The first time I came to New York to ride the subway was in 1966. It was a crowded car. I sat there, and a nice older woman, be a nice way to phrase it, stood in front of me. So I did what I would have was trained to do, what my mother would have shot me if I didn't do. I got up and I gave her my seat. The glares from everybody else.
Oh, because you embarrassed those that weren't going to.
I've never sat down on a subway car ever since. And she sees you stand.
That's very funny. But
is it a true story?
You know, I find I don't ride the subway nearly as much as you do or other New Yorkers. But I have seen on a regular basis New Yorkers get up and give their seats to those that might be pregnant or elderly.
You know, we joke about New Yorkers being, I don't know, aggressive, and New Yorkers tend to be very nice. What people will tell you is from around the world, I have lots of friends and a lot of people in my company that live around the world. They will tell you when they come to New York, they are shocked because it's not the late night talk shows. It is people are nice.
It's not the nasty place.
The thing that is most impressive to people from around the world is they can be standing there with their map, not having any idea where to go. And somebody in a uniform will come up to them and say, "Excuse me, I'm from the NYPD. May I help you?" And that's just not done elsewhere.
Yep, totally disarming. Why don't I take a commercial break here? Then that'll give us some time to talk when we come right back here in the morning with Mayor Michael Bloomberg at News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
This is
Radio 710 WOR, 18 before 9 o'clock. Report in the Daily News this morning. World Trade Center Museum cost $1 billion, maybe? That's the latest
estimate.
Well,
there's an inflation rate at the moment of roughly 2.5% per month in construction costs. Steel, cement, labor, all of those kinds of things. Number one, I don't know that that continues because particularly if you go outside of New York, construction has started to slow down dramatically. In New York, it's not, but that's probably because once you put a building in the ground, it takes a long time to build it. So I don't know whether those numbers are right. But the quicker you get it done, the cheaper it's going to be. I can tell you this. We raised $350 million. We finished raising it roughly a month before the subprime mortgage crisis. Today, you could not, under any circumstances.
I mean, you're not going to find any more or too much more out there.
You're not going to find too much more out there. Most of the people, that's not fair, a large number of the CEOs of companies who were phenomenally generous no longer have their jobs. Now, their successes are honoring the commitments. I think virtually every one of our commitments is good. But nevertheless, the quicker we get this done, the better.
The landscape has changed.
Yeah, I mean, you know, construction throughout the city is problematic. Costs go up. And it is a dangerous job. Yesterday, the city council passed a law, which we had asked them to do, that changes the requirements to be the building commissioner. In the past, you had to be a registered practicing architect or engineer. Now, the building industry sort of fought it, I think, because they wanted one of their own to supervise them. That's not necessarily a good idea. And we have a guy who has been the acting commissioner, Bob Lemandry. And he has taken over after Patricia Lancaster left, who was a really made Patricia. Let me say nothing but good things about her. She really made a difference, did a good job. Time to move on. New guy comes in. You always hope that the new guy does it better. I hope my successor does a better job than I did. I think Rudy is, I can't speak for him, but I hope he's pleased that we've taken what he gave us and taken it to new heights. And I certainly hope my successor takes whatever this administration leads to new heights. Anyways, Bob Lamandri came in, and he really has worked very hard in improving the overall efficiency and quality of the agency's processes by streamlining and reworking operational procedures at every level. We've got to raise the safety standards and improve industry accountability. And under his guidance, we really have done a lot of things. He's launched a special enforcement plan, and he's done a number of things. I spent some time with him last night at Gracie Mansion. I don't know if this is a cigarette, but I'm going to appoint him as the commissioner. He is not a practicing licensed engineer or architect. What he is the right guy for this job. This job is a management job. It is a job to make sure there's no corruption. We've had, you know,
is this an announcement of that appointment?
Would I announce anything other than on your show?
Well, that's true.
This is going to hype your ratings through the roof.
Well, we're only trying to
Wendy
get
is going to say to you, John, you know, thanks to Mike, we can afford to feed the kids
if
they,
that's what it
they
takes,
come home.
Giving you credit,
you got
it.
Anyways, this guy is really the right guy for the right time. He's done a spectacular job. He is no BS. He looks you in the eye. He tells you what he believes. Sometimes you don't want to hear it. But I've always thought the most difficult thing, back when I was running a company in the private world or now, is to have people that tell you the truth, that you don't have any clothes.
That's true of anybody.
When Schuyler was, Schuyler's now a deputy mayor, but when he was the press secretary,
I remember,
he would get in the car and scream at me. And Stu Lozer gets in the car, and you look at the two detectives in the front seat, and I can see them exchanging glances. They've never seen anybody yell at a mayor. And Stu is, let me tell you this about Stu Loza, not nice. But I can tell you this.
I can tell you one other thing.
Anytime Stu Loza yells at me, I don't make the same mistake twice. Mm-hmm. That is the most valuable thing for any manager, is to have somebody that has the courage to tell you that you're making a mistake, and in a ways that you don't forget it. No sugarcoating, no nothing. That's why Stu Lozer is the best press secretary anybody could ever have, and why Schuyler was so valuable before, and even now. Schuyler sits maybe 3 feet away from me. About three, depends on where my chair is. And when Schuyler turns and starts working me over, Patty Harris, my first deputy mayor, cringes. I cringe. Secretaries cringe.
But you don't, you have it.
But you don't make the same. That's what
good
management is about.
That is important stuff. Let me. Our time is short here this morning. The state, the governor has said that he's going to have to cut his budget here, and everybody in the state who has a horse in the race says, "Okay, fine, but don't you touch my budget." I know that you've said a similar thing. Is that fair?
Governor is doing what's right. The state has overspent for a long time. Governor is facing the issue. Not going to be pretty. Not going to be nice. Nobody's going to be happy. It's now up to the legislature to follow the governor. In the end, like the president, it is up to the legislature. We blame the executive, but executive can only ask and lead. In the end, it's the legislature that has to do it. If you're going to make any cuts, it has to be from the popular programs. Why does it have to be from the popular programs? Because that's where the money is.
They're the biggest, right?
And there's a reason they're biggest, because they're the popular programs. So you say, well, I can't, in the city, for example, you can't cut any of the four uniform services, police, fire, corrections, and sanitation. And you can't cut education. If you don't cut those five, there's nothing else left. You could close down all the other agencies, and it wouldn't make any material. You couldn't even measure it. This is where the money is. They're the popular programs, and so they're the ones that are going to have to bear the brunt if we have to cut back. Or we have to raise our taxes if we don't want to cut back. But there's no free lunch. We can't print money the way the federal government does. State doesn't print money either, although they do borrow, and that's not the best financial planning. The governor has got a cut, but he's got a cut not from the $43-odd billion that the state collects and then redistributes back to the 62 counties, because all that means is the 62 counties are going to have to raise their taxes. Basically, most of the programs that the state government funds at a city level are programs that are mandated by state law. So the state passes a law saying county 1 through 62 has to provide a service, and then if they cut back the funding, the counties 1 through 62 don't have choice.
What they want to do with Medicaid.
That's exactly.
That's what the governor is suggesting.
Nobody is going to cut, or no, I don't think anybody's got the courage to look at people and say, we cannot afford the Medicaid services we've been providing. It's a social policy issue as to whether or not we should be providing those services. I happen to be reasonably liberal and on the side of providing more services, but you can have a different view. But regardless, once you make the decision of what services government should provide, somebody's got to pay. And if a state doesn't pay,
then...
Well, praying is a nice thing to do.
Not raising the amount of spending, though, keeps you sort of where you are.
Well,
slightly
less.
But
let me explain to you how government accounting works. If you ask for 8% and we give you 5% increase, you are on the steps of City Hall or Albany screaming that we cut you 3%.
Okay, but that is a cut.
If we raise you 5%, and then cut it back,
is that if you do those cuts, you don't really cut anything, as you've just explained.
I cut 2.5% last year and 5% this year from the city budget. In all fairness, that was a cut against the budget. So overall, city spending went up 1.5%. Now, it was 1.5% versus 2.5% inflation. So agencies would say, oh, we can't keep up with inflation, so it's a real cut. But let me remind you, in your home, you and the boys and Wendy, if you got cut against budget, you wouldn't save any money. As a matter of fact,
No. You
still couldn't pay your bills.
Exactly. No, I understand the math.
The world is, but the public doesn't. And that's why they get away with this. And we are going to, in the city, have to make some cuts or raise our revenue or a combination of both. Because for 2010, we do not have enough money to cover our expenses. We've got roughly a $2.5 billion gap after all of we've done. And I am not going to leave my successor, if I can possibly do it, with enormous budget deficits for the first or second year in his or her administration. I'm also going to try to get union contracts going into the middle of my successor's first term so that they have time to put the right team in place and figure out how much money they have and look at the economy. I think that is fair. That is a great blessing to whoever succeeds me. And I think it's exactly right for the city.
All right. Mayor Michael Bloomberg is with us as every Friday here on News Talk Radio 710 WOR. 9 minutes before 9 o'clock. Let me take a break. We'll come right back.
On News Talk Radio 710 WOR.
6 minutes before 9 o'clock, Mayor Michael Bloomberg in Studio 4 here at News Talk Radio 710 WOR. Did a phone thing this week, talked about eminent domain. Willits Point, of course, coming up on that. Very controversial, at least for
well,
the folks out there.
Well, I think in the end, Willits Point gets done. It's an enormous part of the city. It needs rezoning. There are a bunch of, there's some people who work there and some real businesses, but very sparse use of a land that's in the middle of New York City, and that you need to redo. I think a lot of the yelling and screaming is the entrenched interests wanting to cut a better deal. But in the end, these things tend to get done, and I have great hopes that they will get done. One of the city council people leading the charge against this is Hiram Monserrat, who I will say has some courage. You don't agree with everybody and everything, but Monserrat did stand up for congestion pricing at the beginning, and I have respect for him. He's just wrong on this one. But hopefully we can find a ways to satisfy him, satisfy his constituents, and we'll get on with this. In the end, nobody wants to not do anything. They want to have a better deal for themselves, maybe, but they don't. Nobody wants this not to work.
Eminent domain taking the issue.
You know, eminent domain is one of these. You have every right to say, wait a second, why should the government take private property? On the other hand, if the government can't take private property or doesn't have the threat to take private property, you'll never get anything done. One person in the middle. Central Park used to be a place where people just set up tents and lived. If one tent, one person had been able to block all of that, we wouldn't have Central Park. Nobody says that's a good idea. So you want to have the threat of it, and hopefully you don't use it. The city, Bob Lieber, who's our deputy mayor for Reconstruction and Economic Development, is a brilliant guy. He's a doctor off. I always joke with everybody, you got to find a successor better than you, or you can't leave. And Dr. Ruff found Lieber, and Lieber, I think Dan would say today, Lieber's doing a spectacular job, better than him. It's time for it. And I hope my successor does.
How do you define that line, that very fine line, sometimes gray, between a government service, a road, a hospital, a school, whatever, and just redevelopment when it comes
well,
to...
Well, redevelopment is, you know, if you want to pay our teachers more... That fine line is not so fine.
You're relating to the tax base that comes.
Absolutely. Economic development is part of the city's basic infrastructure and a necessity. And, you know, there are a handful of people who yell and scream about it. But, you know, those people yelling and screaming, my eyes sort of glaze over because they also scream, oh, we want more cops, and we want them paid more. We want more teachers, we want them paid more, more firefighters, more whatever. Yeah, where do you think the money comes from? Oh, tax the other guy, not me. Well, it's just, you know.
World Trade Center security talked about this week. In fact, I talked with Ray Kelly about it right here on the program. One of the things, monitoring license plates at the 20 entrance points to Manhattan Island.
Right.
Any chance of that, if it goes through, if that ever became reality, that could be used, if somebody so decided, as congestion pricing? Is the infrastructure...
You know, every car that comes into Manhattan has a license plate that is a public record as to who owns that car. So the privacy issues are long gone. Anybody that thinks they can drive across a bridge to go visit their lover and not have somebody see it just isn't very practical. He's not very smart. Today we have cameras in front of every building, and you know, come on, this is a different world. Your cell phone, even if you turn it off, unless you take the battery out, the cell company knows where you are at all times, to within a pretty, you know, I don't know, they know which floor in which building.
I was just wondering if the technology could be used for a dual purpose.
Absolutely. On the other hand, if you, for example, toll every car that comes in, you don't even have to do that. So when we finally do something like congestion pricing, which is absolutely necessary to reduce pollution in the city and to let your kids and my kids breathe, and you and I breathe cleaner air, when the city council or the state legislature wants to exempt everybody who has gray hair, under 25, blue eyes, and one blue eye and one brown eye, and whatever combination they come up with, they will force us to go and start looking at every license plate, because otherwise you can't tell. If they just charge everybody, it'll be a lot easier.
All right, well, we've had an abbreviated visit here today, so I will save some of my questions for next week. The street situation, the closed streets on Saturday, how did it work last week?
Off the charts is a nice way to phrase it. A number of the reporters kept saying to me in my press avail, how are you going to measure whether it's good? Just read the papers. Just talk to anybody that was there. It was phenomenal. Colombia, the country in Bogota, has done it for 30 years, off the charts successful. This is going to be successful tomorrow and a week from tomorrow. And then we'll take a look next year. Other places, different times, more things. We'll see.
More roads, maybe? More streets in the future?
You know, there's an awful lot of demand for it.
Mr. Mayor, always good to see you. Thank you very much. Have yourself a good week, and we'll get together next Friday right here at News Talk Radio 710 WR. John Gambling here. Thanks.